You're listening to the Well One Connection, connecting you to important healthcare information. The Well One Connection is a weekly program of Huron Regional Medical Center. Huron Regional Medical Center, providing quality healthcare close to home. Online at huronregional.org.
Today, we are here with Dr. Greg Danielson, who is an ear, nose, and throat physician with Midwest ENT, who comes and sees patients here at HRMC. So welcome to the show, Dr. Danielson.
Thank you for having me.
And today we're talking about something very exciting for me personally, because it's a new way to help with sleep apnea. And
correct.
I happen to have a husband who has sleep apnea.
Uh-oh.
And CPAP has not worked for him. So tell us about this new Inspire treatment.
Yeah, so what Inspire is a nerve stimulator that is stimulating one of the nerves in our neck called the hypoglossal nerve, which is the nerve that controls the motion of our tongue. And basically, going back, this is a technology that was kind of derived from the people that were doing pacemakers for the heart. And they came up with the idea of taking pacemaker technology and trying to apply it to other things other than the heart. And looking at the sleep apnea world, the idea was that if we could stimulate the tongue to move forward at night while we're sleeping, that may cure people with sleep apnea. And that's where this technology began in its infancy and has progressed. The technology has been around for approximately 5 years or more at this point. But in the beginning years, we really struggled with lack of coverage from insurance companies.
So maybe we should back up a little bit and just define sleep apnea for people.
So sleep apnea is a problem occurring at night while we're sleeping, where the structures in the throat... Well, actually, I should back up. There's two types of sleep apnea. There's one that is called central sleep apnea, and that is a problem where the brain is not sending the signal to our body to take a breath. Inspire does not treat central sleep apnea. The more common type of sleep apnea is something called obstructive sleep apnea, and that is a problem where the structures, including the tongue and the palate in our throat, are collapsing and obstructing the airflow through our throat into our lungs. Sleep apnea is divided into different categories. So it is considered normal to have up to 5 apneic events per hour while we're sleeping. Anything over 5 events is considered abnormal, and that's where you would be considered to have sleep apnea. If you have between 5 and 15 events per hour, that is considered a mild sleep apnea. Between 15 and 30 is considered a moderate sleep apnea, and anything above 30 is considered severe sleep apnea. The treatment for sleep apnea has mainly been with something called CPAP, which is a device a mask that you wear that either goes into your nose or over your nose and into your mouth, and that is delivering positive air pressure. So every time you take a breath, there's extra pressure put on that breath to deliver the breath to our lungs, and in between our breaths, there is some pressure added as well to hold the structures in our throat open in between our breaths, so there's no collapsing of those structures. CPAP has been shown for years to be the most effective treatment for sleep apnea. The problem with CPAP is that there are a lot of patients out there that just don't tolerate wearing that mask at night. It has hoses that connect to the machine that people can get tangled in. And also some people just have a claustrophobic type feeling wearing that mask. So there are many patients that, although would do very well with CPAP, just find that they can't tolerate it, and during the night they either take it off and they're not even aware that they've done that, or they just can't fall asleep with it on, and you know, they just struggle to sleep with that CPAP. For years, we have been looking at things to help people that can't tolerate the CPAP and trying different things to help them, and there have been many surgeries that have been devised to try and help with CPAP. There are surgeries to trim your soft palate, to try and pull the tissues from the back of the tongue forward, to fix problems in your nose. The problem with the surgical treatment of sleep apnea, as it was in the past, is that a lot of these surgeries we're doing in your throat, we're taking these kind of soft, pliable tissues in our throat and trying to tighten them up and expand the opening in our throat up. And that can work very well in the beginning, but after you do those surgeries with time, a lot of that stiffening and kind of expansion of the throat will tend to lessen. And so people can have good results from surgery initially, but then 5, 10, 15 years down the road, a lot of those effects that we did on the surgery can go away. With this newer technology, what we're so excited about is that we're not doing anything to alter the normal anatomy of our throats. We're taking the natural anatomy and we're just stimulating the natural musculature in our throat to pull the tissue, the tongue and the palate forward, holding it off the back of the throat and opening up the throat. So they not only is it not a very painful surgery to go through, but we don't expect that there's gonna be any loss of function if once you have this done, that over time, we're not gonna see that this is gonna get less and less effective with time, because we're not seeing that structures that we tightened are gonna relax. We're just using the natural structures that are already there and stimulating those muscles with this nerve stimulator.
So tell us how that's gonna happen.
Yeah, so what the procedure involves is there are three separate incisions that we do when we do the surgery. One that is just below the chin, typically on the right side, and we use that incision to go in and find this nerve, the hypoglossal nerve that goes to your tongue. Once we find the nerve, we actually isolate specific branches of the nerve. Try and isolate the branches that are there to cause your tongue to go forward. There are other branches of the nerve that allow us to move the tongue to the side and tense the muscles of our tongue. So we try and exclude those branches, and then we include just the branches that go to moving the tongue forward. Once we've done that, we put a little cuff around that branch of the nerve that is the stimulator cuff. So that's what's going to...
It's tiny, right?
Yes, it's probably about, you know, the width of a pinky fingernail or so. So about a centimeter. And we put that little cuff around the branch of the nerve, and there is a wire from that that we then tunnel underneath the skin of your neck down onto your upper chest. And like the pacemaker that you would see for your heart, we make an incision in the upper chest, and that's where the pacemaker device would sit. And that's the battery pack and the device that will send the stimulation to your tongue. We also make a third incision below your breast, and that is where we make an incision. We go down to the muscles that are in between your ribs, and we insert a sensor lead into those muscles in between the ribs, and that is then also with a wire that's connected up to the pacemaker device, and that's what's gonna sense your effort to breathe in. So there's a sensor in the lower ribs that picks up every time you initiate a breath, and when it senses that, it'll send a signal to your tongue, and it'll pull the tongue forward, pulling the back of the tongue off your throat, and in turn it also pulls your soft palate off the back of your throat, because the soft palate musculature and soft tissues are connected to your tongue. So by doing that, we see that the tongue and the soft palate get pulled forward, and they've done this where they've turned on the device when someone's asleep in the operating room and looked in with the scope, and they can see documenting that the device will pull the back of the tongue off the back of the throat and the palate off the back of the throat, expanding the throat up so that you can then breathe better. Mm-hmm. It's done in the operating room. You are fully asleep for it. We monitor your tongue movements with a special called an EMG device, which is electromyography. So we can actually find the nerve, stimulate the branches, see which branches we want to get for that, and then once we've isolated those branches, we do the procedure where we put the cuff around the nerve, tunnel that wire under the skin of the neck to the chest, make the pocket for the battery pack and the device, and then also the third incision below where we put the sensor lead in between your ribs and tunnel that wire up to the device, put it all in. It is typically just done as a day surgery, meaning you come and you go home the same day, so you don't have to spend a night in the hospital. Most patients will tell us that the pain after the procedure is fairly minimal, so not a lot of discomfort. We do typically ask that the patients not do a lot of vigorous activity with their right arm after surgery for a month, because we don't want to inadvertently tug on that wire in your neck to displace the cuff. After a month, the healing process has proceeded enough that the wire shouldn't come off at all. After that first month, then your activities are basically unrestricted. The reason we do it on the right side most often is because the heart doctors, if they do need to put a cardiac pacemaker in, they prefer to do the left side, so we try and leave the left side open for our cardiology colleagues, but in the incident that there's some reason we can't do it on the right side, then we can still do it on the left, but our preference is to do it on the right side. Once we have the surgery done and the device is placed, it usually is not used for a month. So that first month, we're just letting everything heal in place. Then you come to back to the office where you see us for the first turning on of the device. And that at that setting, we turn it on in the office. We have a special computer that analyzes the system to make sure everything's working properly. And then we start stimulating your tongue. We look to see where we're getting the correct tongue movements. We can adjust the amount of stimulation the device gives to your tongue. Once we kind of find where it's at, we set there's a little remote control device that you would go home with. We set that, program that device with what we want the low setting to be, and we set 10 different settings in this. So you can start with a 1 and you can go up to a 10 as to the amount of stimulation that it'll give your tongue. Once all that is programmed into the device, you go home, you have that little remote control device. When it's time for you to go to bed, you would grab the little remote control, you would tell it to start, you hold it over the device on your chest, and it'll send a signal to the device saying, okay, I'm going to bed. Typically, we have it wait about a half an hour. So during that time, once you've turned it on, it's not going to do anything for a half an hour. That gives you time to get in bed, fall asleep, so that when you're asleep, it's not going to start working until you actually have fallen asleep. After that half hour, it starts to work. So every time you take a breath, it's going to send a signal to your tongue to move forward and pull your tongue off the back of the throat. And you do that. We usually have people start with the very lowest setting for the first week. And then every week we have you go up in intensity for the stimulation until you kind of tell us, hey, I started at a 1 and I did great, and by the time I got to an 8, let's just say, then I started to, it was a little too intense, it woke me up, or things like that. So we kind of find what your range of tolerance is based on that. We also find out, okay, when I got to a 4, I noticed I was sleeping so much better, I felt really good. And that gives us also an idea of, okay, where things were at to make your sleeping better. And then usually 3 months after your initial starting to use the device, we bring you into the sleep lab again. and do another sleep study while you're using the device. And we have this sleep lab attendee, or the person that's running the sleep study, there to adjust the device. So they'll actually have you go to sleep, they're watching you're sleeping, and they're going to adjust the device to say, okay, at setting 5, it really controls your sleep apnea well, and then we can know going forward from that point that what setting works well for you. Periodically, if things change in your life, you're having more problems, you know, there may be the chance that down the road we need to kind of adjust the settings or do another sleep study to see if things have changed and we need to go up or down in the amount of stimulation that we're providing that on your tongue. From a bed partner perspective, the studies have shown that 90% of people's spouses or bed partners say that snoring is either completely gone or greatly reduced by using that. So a 90% reduction in snoring, and you know, which in turn means 90% satisfaction by husbands and wives that were annoyed by their bed partner's snoring.
Still struggling with CPAP? Get relief with Inspire. Inspire is the only FDA-approved obstructive sleep apnea treatment that works inside your body to treat the root cause of sleep apnea with just the click of a button. No mask, no host, just sleep. Learn more on an educational webinar presented by Dr. Greg Danielson and Dr. Kenneth Scott of Midwest Ear, Nose, and Throat Clinic on Thursday, November 19th at 6 p.m. View important safety information and register at inspiresleepevents.com. Join us next Monday right here on Tiger 95.3 FM for part 2 with Dr. Danielson on sleep apnea.
You've been listening to the Well One Connection, connecting you to important healthcare information. This program is for general use only and is not meant to replace the advice of your doctor or other medical professional. If you have questions, contact your healthcare provider. The Well One Connection is a weekly program of Huron Regional Medical Center, providing quality health care close to home. Online at HuronRegional.org.